Welcome in to the Green 19 podcast brought to you by JS Online and PackersNews.com. I'm Cassidy Hill, joined by Tom Silverstein and Ryan Wood, back from the dead. He is back with us. Ryan, how are you feeling?
It's great to be out of this COVID-19 thing. I got cleared earlier this week from Flea. Tested every day that I was in protocol. It was not a fun week at all, but there's a real relief when the cloud of COVID-19 lifts, and that's where I'm at. I'm feeling much better.
Well, we are glad you're feeling better and glad you're back with us. We know you've been you've stayed plugged in with everything going on with the Packers and have been still working from home. But just a couple of updates. Matt LaFleur told us earlier this week that David Bakhtiari and Jaire Alexander were pretty much for sure not going to play on Saturday. I know we're not going to spend too much time on this, but guys, I thought it was interesting that for a subject where he's used words like hopefully, maybe, we'll see day to day for so long, that it was interesting for him to come out on a Tuesday and say, no, they're not going to play. So is that just kind of where they're at with them both right now? Or is that the byproduct of a short week with the short week of practice as well?
Well, the only surprise there was Bakhtiari not practicing and, being declared out so early. I mean, Alexander is still, he's not even 3 weeks into his return. So, again, I think they hope he gets back for the playoffs kind of thing. But it's looking like that might be the case for Bakhtiari too. Maybe he tried to come back too soon after that second surgery and they decided to shut him down for this week and let him relax. You know, it's very possible that he pushed it too hard last week.
Go ahead.
Now he needs to back off and get it back, you know, let it continue to heal.
Yeah, because he surprised even Matt LaFleur coming back last week to practice. Ryan, do you think we see either one of those guys this season?
I don't know. I've got a hypothesis as far as the way that Matt LaFleur's handling it in terms of being so definitive early in the week. I think early on, Matt LaFleur, as he does with all injuries, wanted to try to maintain or preserve some level of competitive advantage through a mystery of maybe he will, maybe he won't. And honestly, I think at this point, he's just so fed up about being asked about it that if there's no chance, he's just going to say, shut down the questions early in the week. I think you could tell he's been asked a lot and there's not a lot of answers right now when it comes to those two. They'll be ready when they're ready. And I don't know that anyone really knows when that is right now, which is not a great feeling for this team with two games to go after this week. So, it's hard to say. It would be a fool's errand to try to say when they will be back.
Well, the other thing is that this week is all walkthroughs practically. I mean, they haven't practiced as we're doing this on Thursday morning and they've yet to practice really. So you can't throw Bakhtiari out there without a week of practice. Same with, even if Jaire Alexander were ready, you wouldn't throw him out this week because he's not really practicing. So I think that had something to do with it. If you're going to just have they didn't practice on Tuesday. They had two walkthroughs, literal walkthroughs on Wednesday. And I'm not sure what they're going to do Thursday, but it's probably not going to be all that intensive.
I'm trying to think, since Jaire Alexander has come back, I don't think they've practiced in pads.
Yes, they have.
They have? Okay.
Yep.
I can't remember it.
Yep. Last
couple times, I believe. Okay.
They do have until next Wednesday to officially designate him or to elevate him to the active roster off of the designated to return. So they do have a few more days with Jaire Alexander. As Ryan mentioned, they have three games to go. Three games that it's the NFL. You never want to take a game lightly. Any given Sunday, all that stuff. That being said, these next three games are easily navigatable. And considering what's going on with the Cardinals, the Bucks, and where the NFC stands right now, you don't want to say they can afford to drop one, but can they afford to sit one out, so to speak, Ryan?
If the Cowboys lose one more time, they absolutely can afford to drop one because they'd still be the number one seed in the NFC. And the reason for that is you look, they're the only team in the NFC, you know, the only team in the NFL at 11-3. There's four teams in the NFC at 10-4. It's a very top heavy conference, has been all year. Those four teams are the Bucks, the Cardinals, the Rams, and the Cowboys. And they've obviously got the head-to-head tiebreaker against the Cardinals and the Rams. They beat them this season. The Bucks, they have the common opponent tiebreaker against the Bucks, and they're going to have the common opponent tiebreaker against the Bucks because their common opponents this season with three games left is over. So they've got that tiebreaker. The one tiebreaker they don't have is the conference record tiebreaker against the Cowboys. The Cowboys have one conference loss. The Packers have two. So if they finish in a tie with the Cowboys would win that tiebreaker. But the Cowboys still have the Cardinals, which granted are not playing all that well right now, to put it mildly, with losing to Detroit, which was one of the most shocking losses in the NFL, not just this season, but in a long time, in many years. I mean, that from the Lions trying to get the top overall pick in the draft to the Cardinals fighting for the top overall seed in the NFL, that was a shocking, shocking loss. So who knows how well
the Cardinals will play. They let the Rams beat them twice.
Yeah. So, you know, the Cowboys could lose that. I think they got the Eagles to close the season. So that's, you know, if the Cowboys lose once more against an NFC team, the Packers can lose again this season and still be the number one seed.
Spoon, do you start thinking about possibly, I know you mentioned this on Sunday sort of in passing, so I want you to give us a little bit more of your thoughts here. Do you start thinking about sitting Aaron Rodgers on one of these next three games if you feel like you've got the number one seed locked up?
No, not the last. You could do the last game, but
the Detroit game,
you're not going to clinch. I don't think they can clinch home field this week. Maybe they, I don't think they could.
They can clinch.
I mean, so with two games left,
if the Cowboys lose the Cardinals,
I don't know if they can clinch.
They can't
clinch because the NFL put out the scenario. So they can't clinch home field this week. So they're going to go into next week still not knowing whether they have home field advantage. So the only time they could rest Rodgers would be in week 18. And that would be if they had clinched. And that's a possibility. Probably their best hope is that Dallas loses to Washington on Sunday. Because Dallas plays Arizona at home. And if Arizona's tanking the way that it appears they are, then that's a win. And, you know, if it requires them to lose to Philadelphia in the last week to get a second conference loss, then the Packers have to play Rodgers that week anyways. So,
yeah,
it would only be in the final week.
It's still, even with the Packers having a playoff seed locked up and the NFC North locked up, it's still going to be an exciting last couple of weeks just to see what happens around them. And in the NFL as well, if you're a football fan, it's going to be an exciting race to the finish. I heard the other day, there's 21 teams who are still eligible, who are still in contention for a playoff spot. And this late in the season, that's just insane to think about. 21 teams.
Yeah, but you know what? It sort of speaks to, there's too many playoff teams, you know? It's like, how many of these seven seeds are going to make it to the championship game?
Right.
Now, it happens once in a while, but, you know, there's just a bunch of wild card games that aren't really very meaningful. So while it's fun for that fan base, I'm sure, to make the playoffs. You think about the Bears making the playoffs last year. What chance did they have of going anywhere other than losing in the first round? And so it's a little watered down. I'm not a big fan of the watered down playoffs like that. But, you know, it's going to be a battle of these top teams. That to me is the most interesting part. You know, Tampa, Packers, Cowboys, you know, Cardinals and Rams.
I don't think you can discount the byproduct of 17 games either. You know, these seven playoff teams and 17 games were made to literally, one, to make money. But how do you make money? By keeping everybody in it, by emphasizing parity. So I think the combination of the two, I don't think it's a coincidence that you're seeing this the first season of the 17-game schedule. You know, and there's something, you know, look, the Packers fans will tell you that you'd be the last seed and still get to the Super Bowl and win it. So there's some intrigue if you see why they made those moves, but yeah, the combination, it's going to be wacky down the stretch.
As someone who stayed up way too late last night watching the Armed Forces Bowl between Missouri and Army, just to see Army win on a walk-off field goal, I am always a proponent of more games, especially if they just get crazy. I'll sit there and watch them all. This weekend, Christmas Day, the Packers have the Browns. They have a shell of the Browns, at least right now, with so much of that Cleveland roster on the reserve COVID-19 list, injured, waiting to see who they'll even have available, might not know until Saturday morning. So I kind of want to just recap where they stand right now, who's out, who's in. As of right now, time of recording, Baker Mayfield is still out. That's correct, guys?
Correct.
I've not seen anything otherwise.
Yep. Yeah. And then Kevin Stefanski is back, their head coach. He tested out of protocols the other day. Miles Garrett is still dealing with a groin injury. Who do the Browns feasibly need back on the field to make this a competitive game? Or even if the Browns are at full strength, was there any stopping this Packers team with where they're at right now, Spoon?
Yeah, well, they need, of course, Baker Mayfield back. They need Miles Garrett back. Tack McKinley, one of their other pass rushers, is done for the year. Jadeveon Clowney, they need back. He's on the COVID list. Their left tackle, Jedrick Wills, he's on the COVID list. They need him back. One of their guards, Wyatt Teller, is on the COVID list. I think Jarvis Landry, the receiver, still on the COVID list. Troy Hill, their nickel corner, is still on the, you know, it's just brutal. And so I do think they'll get some guys back by Saturday. It's just how many of them are going to be back. And right now, we can't really say.
If they do have Baker Mayfield back, he's sort of a mobile. He is a mobile quarterback. I don't want to say sort of. He is a mobile quarterback. But compared to who they have faced this season, he's not as much of a threat. What threat does he pose, I guess, is the best way to ask that question, Ryan, if he is on the field? Because you have to also remember, not only is he coming back from COVID, he's been, for the most part, asymptomatic, according to his wife. But he also dealt with a shoulder injury this season. So is he as much of a threat as he used to be, Ryan? Or is there any sort of – have the Packers already handled enough quarterbacks like him to make you not – concerned with what he could bring?
Well, he's more of a threat than Case Keenum, right? I mean, he's more of a threat than who else they've got on that roster at quarterback. And you know, he's a winning quarterback in this league. He's a guy that he has won games with the Browns, which is among the most difficult things to do in the NFL. So he's a guy that the Packers prefer not to see compared to the alternatives. But there's a lot of those guys. I mean, the numbers, as of this recording, Thursday morning, there's 17, according to the Browns roster, still 17 players on their COVID-19 reserve list. There's 7 more players on IR. There's 2 from the practice squad, additionally, on the COVID-19 reserve list. That is the definition of depleted. And for them to then have a short week because they got their game because of these numbers, they got their game pushed back last week to Monday, and then to have a disheartening, discouraging loss against the Raiders when they're still fighting for a playoff spot, as we just said, most of the NFL is, and then to have a short week road trip on Christmas, it's just kind of another kick in the head. It piles up. So this is a team that the Packers should absolutely beat for myriad factors. And when you have a Christmas gift like this, you just take it and say thank you. And that's what the Packers should do.
If the Browns do get Mayfield, Garrett, Clowney, all of these guys back, I think there's something, and y'all could disagree, I want your opinion, but I think there's something to a team with their back against the wall, with – you know, just holding on to it, something, and that when you back a team against the wall, they come out swinging. Do the Packers have to be careful that they're not lulled to sleep, maybe by thinking this is a easily winnable game?
There is, if that team still has fight left, if that team still has life in it. And that's what we just don't know about the Browns right now. You know, a couple weeks ago, the Chicago Bears showed that they still had some fight left. They still had some life left. And they were able to take advantage of some really big blunders and errors from the Packers, like a team with life left can. And so the Bears were still, I was surprised. They were still fighting for Matt Nagy. If the Browns still have fight and life left, then yeah, I'm completely with you, Cassidy, that this is a team that can be dangerous because of the desperation. Yeah. Or it cannot be dangerous because of the discouragement. So I think that's going to be very interesting to see which team shows up.
Spoon, obviously you want Kenny Clark back for a myriad of reasons, but how much of that do you need him back for Nick Chubb, to handle Nick Chubb?
You need Kenny Clark back, period. It doesn't matter who they're playing. He's such a vital part of their defense. And a big reason, I think, why he's been such a good fit for Joe Barry's scheme. And I think everything kind of revolves around his ability to create problems in the middle. And you could see what happened when he wasn't there, even against a backup quarterback, who, albeit is a very talented guy. Kenny Clark is indispensable. And they need him back. Now, it sounds like there's a good chance he'll be back. I believe his 10th day is either, I think it's Saturday. I'm not positive about that. But LaFleur pretty much indicated he would play as long as he passed the protocols, which are some kind of heart scan and whatever the other conditioning test or something like that. So they need him. With Nick Chubb, that's a issue. And the Browns have a very good offensive line led by J.C. Treader, who has plenty of experience blocking Kenny Clark from their time together with the Packers. And so they have a very good offensive line. And it's going to be a challenge for the Packers to stop that run game, and they're going to need Kenny Clark.
Ryan, could Nick Chubb be – let me preface this. Matt LaFleur called Myles Garrett a game wrecker this week, but could Nick Chubb also be a game wrecker?
He can be. You know, it's interesting. He's one of the best backs in the NFL, and there's just not a lot that we know about him because he plays way on the other side of the NFL. But I mean, when you've got a guy that's got almost 200 rushes and he's averaging 4.4 yards per carry on the season, it's awfully impressive. That, I mean, that's Aaron Jones territory, right? And that's basically what you're looking at. So, you know, he's been a Pro Bowler each of the past three seasons. Is he a Pro Bowler this year? I'm guessing he might be. I honestly don't know. I don't know the AFC Pro Bowlers. But, you know, he's a guy he's the guy that you have to contend for in that offense, given especially the COVID situation, which I should say, I compared Baker Mayfield to Case Keenum. Case Keenum's on COVID list too. Nick Mullins was the one that the quarterback that started against the Raiders last week.
He didn't do bad.
They're all on COVID. They're all on COVID. So, you know, who knows who's going to be able to play this week, who's not. But Nick Chubb is still, right now, that's the known quantity in their offense.
Nick Chubb is a Pro Bowler. Just FYI.
Four straight years.
And we'll get into the fact that Kenny Clark is also a Pro Bowler as well. And we'll get into that in just a minute. But before we do, let's look at the Packers receiver room. Where does it stand right now? Sort of depleted. Equanimeous St. Brown was back out at practice on Wednesday. And so that's the first time we had seen him back out there since he had been in concussion protocol. He looked to be a full participant, or as much as we could see when media was open. But obviously still no Randall Cobb, and had to sign Winfrey off the practice squad. I'm trying to think of who else is there. Spoon, I'll let you hop in here. But
yeah, well, Amari Rodgers, they're down.
Amari Rodgers was back at practice. So thank you.
Equanimeous St. Brown, I think, is still in the concussion protocol because he wouldn't be listed on the injury report if he were out of it, is my understanding. I could be wrong about that, but he was a limited participant, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yes, he was limited. Just mainly meant that he was there and participating.
Yeah, I mean, he had been off last week too.
He was off by himself.
Didn't he practice one day? Anyway, it doesn't matter.
He was with the receiver group yesterday.
Yeah, so he may play. Malik Taylor looks like he's going to be out. He hasn't practiced for either day, and he's got a shoulder injury. That's a new injury for him. So they could be, conceivably, they could be down to Adams, Lazard, Winfrey, and Amari Rodgers. Now, they might bring up someone from the practice squad. They got Chris Blair and Josh Malone. I'm sure their hope is that Equanimeous St. Brown is healthy enough to play. I think that's enough. I think five is enough. But it's kind of a thin group, and it'll be up to Alan Lazard. And I don't know that the Browns are going to do what the Ravens did to Davante Adams. I don't think they're going to devote three guys to him, or at a minimum two guys every play, because they got Denzel Ward, who's an outstanding corner. So, you know, it might be a bigger challenge for the other guys, and we'll see what Adams does. Maybe this will open things up for Adams a little bit.
Ryan, I don't know if I want to use the word depressing, but it is a little bit of a letdown to see MVS go have the game he had against Baltimore and then him to be placed on the reserve COVID list. Do you feel like he can keep this production up even if he misses Saturday? And is this what we've sort of been expecting out of him all season or for the past couple of years?
It's a good question, because the two things that have really defined MVS through four seasons now is big plays, explosive talent, one of the best deep threats in the NFL, and inconsistency. You don't see it every week, right? And some of that's kind of a byproduct of, you know, if you've got a, you know, not everyone in the NBA is Steph Curry, right? Usually a three-point shooter is not going to have a great field goal percentage. because they're shooting further away from the basket. Well, as a receiver who's a big play deep threat, you're not going to have as great of a completion percentage because your targets, especially in MVS's case, they're all very far removed from the line of scrimmage. But still, I think you're going to see MVS have big games and then games where he kind of disappears a little bit based on the nature of the week. But in terms of, like Spoon said, opening things up for Davante Adams, which has got to be something that this Packers offense this week and through the remainder of the season is hyper-vigilant with and even putting more emphasis and focus on after last week, after the way that the Ravens played Davante Adams. They need MVS on the field because he is the guy that can prevent defenses potentially from either lining up three in a row, like Spoon, Davante Adams showed you yesterday on his phone, or if they do that, make you pay the way that he did on the field with production. So yeah, I think it's huge that he's able to play as soon as he obviously gets off this COVID-19 list. And he is a bona fide number two receiver.
Spoon, your interaction with Davante Adams was one of my favorite things I've seen in a long time. If you haven't seen it, you can go watch it. And I think it's on our site, PackersNews.com as well, but I know it's on Packers social media and things like that. Spoon asked Davante Adams about a play where he had been triple teamed, and Davante Adams pulled his phone up. He had receipts. He had receipts of all the times he's been double covered, and that time he had been triple covered. I know it's a sign of respect, but Spoon, if teams are going to start doing that, how can this receiver group take advantage of it?
Well, it's more about figuring out ways. Yeah, they do need to take advantage of it. And the play that we were talking about, MVS caught a 25-yard pass across the middle, running straight to the spot where the safety would normally be playing, but he was shading over to Adams. So that's the kind of thing they got to do. But think about what the Ravens strategy did, because when the Packers needed a touchdown to seal the game up, it was to Allen Lazard, and it didn't connect. And who knows if they're not doing that to Davante Adams, maybe Davante Adams is the one catching the touchdown. They forced someone other than Davante Adams to beat them. And it almost paid off, you know? I mean, that they're a 2-point conversion from that strategy being brilliant. So I don't think Cleveland's going to do that, again, because they've got Denzel Ward. Now, they're going to probably be without their other corner, their rookie, Greg Newsom, who's a very talented player. And if Troy Hill's out, that's tough too for them. He's a very good slot corner, but they have Denzel Ward and he may just follow Adams, and they probably won't have to do what Baltimore did. If they do that, it's also incumbent on the coaches to figure out a way to get Adams open. And if it means him, like he said, just crossing the field, running shallow crossing routes to get away from these guys, then they got to figure out ways to do that. So I think it kind of shook them a little bit that happened, that they weren't prepared for that. And so I think they will be prepared for it if it happens again.
We should also say Davante Adams made it very clear how he felt about it. I thought one of the more remarkable things that I've heard in a while was when Davante Adams basically just challenged the Cleveland Browns to come out and play ball. He said Cleveland has some good players, so hopefully they trust their guys to go out there and play ball, which it's a challenge to play me right and don't be chicken, right? Yeah. I mean, that's basically what he's saying. And you just don't hear that. It was frustrating because another thing that Davante Adams said was that he acknowledged it's a sign of respect, but it was definitely annoying and hopefully it doesn't happen too much going forward. Cassie, I think that, you know, maybe not this week, like Spoon said, with Denzel Ward, but when you go out there, you only give up 44 yards to Davante Adams. That is something that works, and it's an imitation league. It's a copycat game. If something works, you're probably going to see it again at some point. So I don't think this is the last time the Packers have seen it.
No, and now they at least are somewhat better prepared. If, you know, as Devontae told Spoon, he said, "I just start running around in circles, playground rules. If they're going to do that to me, then I'm going to play unfair too," which essentially told me that Davante Adams feels like that when he's let loose and plays free, he can be even more dangerous. And so we'll see what happens.
I think he was really frustrated by it.
Yeah. He was not pleased. He was not pleased.
Yeah. No. Which again, it is a huge sign of respect, but yes, it has to be incredibly annoying during the game. Aaron Rodgers was at the walkthroughs on Wednesday. He didn't do anything physically wise, but he has not necessarily been down there during the open media viewing portion while he's been rehabbing the toe. He's been at practice a couple of times, but if he's just doing the walkthroughs, he usually waits and comes down a little bit later. We saw him doing some footwork while he was out there and sort of walking through it. Spoon, how much longer can they get by with him not practicing? Because he seems to be doing great without even going out there during the week.
Yeah, I think they can continue doing it. I don't think it hurts them all that much. I think, you know, if they get into a playoff game, they're going to want him to practice. But, you know, for now, I think it's doable. He, you know, we've seen in the early going, he's usually a little rusty. He'll miss some throws. But then once the game gets going on, he kind of returns to who he is. So I think the most important thing for them right now is preserving him for the playoffs, getting him to be his best for the playoffs. And again, that's why I also think that it would be really smart for them to sit him out if they can in week 18, get the, you know, and as long as they have the bye, and then he gets two weekends off. Yes. And that toe gets a chance to do a little healing. So, and then he can conceivably can practice. So for the most part, I don't think it's hurting them right now. I just think when you get to the playoffs where every series counts, then you really need him to practice.
Yeah. He was elected yesterday to his 10th Pro Bowl. He was named the starter for the NFC team, along with Tom Brady and Kyler Murray, but Rodgers was named the starter. Davante Adams was elected to his 5th Pro Bowl, Kenny Clark to his 2nd. Obviously, if they make the Super Bowl, none of them are going to be there. If they don't make the Super Bowl, I know you guys kind of indicated earlier that you don't think that Rodgers or Adams will be there either. I'll let you kind of explain that. But also as alternates, Aaron Jones is a first alternate for running back, Corey Bohorquez at punter, and Rasul Douglas at corner. Rasul Douglas, I know it's an alternate, which means he might not play, but usually actually you see alternates get up there just because of guys going on to the Super Bowl or injury or finding an excuse to not do it. For Rasul Douglas to go from practice squad to any sort of appearance on the Pro Bowl roster in less than 3 months, I think that's pretty cool.
That's a great point. And it's such an unlikely rise for him. Nobody saw this coming. Even the Packers didn't see this coming. His first game that he was on the roster was at Chicago, and he came off the sideline. This is not a team that wanted him for depth, and they got so much more. Aaron Rodgers is a player. I don't even know. I wish I knew this off the top of my head. I don't even know the last time he played a Pro Bowl. You know, he's been a healthy scratch before. The fact that he's got the toe, if they don't happen to be in the Super Bowl, he's going to rest the toe. If they don't happen to be in the Super Bowl, as soon as this season ends, the only thing Davante Adams is going to care about is his contract situation. He's not going to risk a non-contact injury in a completely meaningless game, so he won't play. You know, Kenny Clark seems pretty excited, and rightly so. So of the three, I could see him playing. But obviously this Packers team very much hopes that it's not in a position to see its players in the Pro Bowl. The other thing too, they're down from seven last year. Three this year. I'm trying to think. I forget how many they had in 19, but they had around that number. The bottom line, this team, individual talent wise, it's not as talented of a team as last year. It's just not. I mean, when you've gone from a first team all pro center in Corey Linsley to a remarkable, scrappy, gutty center, a great story in Lucas Patrick, but he's not a Pro Bowl. He's not Corey Linsley. This is a team that has really kind of put it together the best record in the NFL through patchwork more than individual talent. And it's a testament to one, Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. They've been remarkable. Matt LaFleur and really Brian Gutekunst, the way that he built this team with the depth that it has, more than individual talent.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's what I wanted to kind of end on, is to just, you know, like you said, Spoon, this is not a roster full of Pro Bowl talent. So how impressive is it that they've been able to get to the best record in the NFL and the first team to lock up a playoff spot and a third straight NFC North?
Yeah. I don't make much out of the Pro Bowl, because it's no longer really credible for how it's picked. You know, back when coaches and players were the ones who picked it, even then it was a little bit sketchy, but it's with the fan vote and everything now, it's just not really, doesn't mean a whole lot. So what means a lot is how much depth you have, how much talent you have at the most important positions, and how many, you know, difference makers you have. And the Packers have enough difference makers. We know they have a ton of depth because they've suffered a lot of injuries and maintained their success. And they have just good players at a lot of different positions. So, and then of course they have a franchise quarterback, which makes up for a lot of other things that you don't have. But I think this is probably the most talented team the Packers have had, from depth, overall talent, that they've had in a long time.
So maybe not top heavy, but deep.
Yeah. I mean, you need to have good starters. You need to have at three, four, maybe five great players to get to the Super Bowl. And then you need a lot of really good players. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have Rodgers, they have Kenny Clark, they might have Jair Alexander. They did have Elgton Jenkins for a while. Aaron Jones falls in that category. I'm sure I'm missing somebody else. You know, Rashawn Gary's getting to that category. They have really the ingredients to do it. It's, you know, this is their year. They have to do it this year, because I don't think they're going to run into a chance like this again in a while.
Here's the thing too. When you go down from 7-3, like they did last year to this year, David Bakhtiari can't be a Pro Bowler when he hasn't played. Jair Alexander, Za'Darius Smith, right, Elgton Jenkins, they can't be Pro Bowlers when they haven't played. And that's your four right there. So when you think about this team being 11-3, best record in the NFL, the most impressive part of that is that four Pro Bowl / all pro type players that were huge with this team last season have been not non-factors in some cases, but pretty darn close, right? They haven't played. That's to be 11-3 still on top of all that. That's awfully impressive.
Spoon, with how soft they play the Pro Bowl now, do you think you could score a touchdown?
Oh, are you kidding? I could rush for 100 yards. Nobody would even touch me.
I'm here for it, Spoon.
I would buy a ticket to that game. I'd pay to watch it. You think you could rush for 100 yards?
Easily.
Out to the parking lot?
You know, Ryan, you mentioned, when did Rodgers play his last Pro Bowl. And I don't remember the year, but he complained after the game, if you remember, about how soft it was and that it was just a joke because nobody was tackling, you know, and it was like a flag football game. And that might have been the last time he played.
Just the competitor in him can't stand it.
Unfortunately, I can't remember when that was.
Spoon, I'll tell you what, if you rush for 100 yards, I would write the best damn game story of my entire, that I would go all out for you, Spoon. I am there for that.
I appreciate that, but I don't talk to the media, so you aren't getting a quote from me.
You're just there so you don't get fined?
Yeah, yes, okay. Exactly, right.
Well, guys, I'm gonna start landing this plane here. So any final thoughts? Take your final minute. Ryan, start us off on this Browns game, Christmas Day. I know that you finally finished The Holiday, a classic American film. And after I berated you about it for long enough, any final thoughts in your final 60 seconds?
Well, Cassidy, you know where this is going. I don't know how you can call it a classic holiday film when they thought it was a wise idea to make Kate Winslet and Jack Black a couple. Like, on what universe, what planet does that exist where that's a good idea? Look, Cameron Diaz and Jude Law can see it. That makes sense. That absolutely clicks. That was, dare I say, magical. All right. But Jack Black and Kate Winslet together, I like Kate Winslet. I like Jack Black. I do not like Kate Winslet and Jack Black. That ruined the movie for me. I'm just like, I can't bring myself to that point. So I'm just speaking for myself. But, you know, when you've got first of all, it is a rom-com. I know that you said it's not a chick flick. That's what it is. When you've got that, and it's built on the pillar of two relationships, and one of them makes sense, and the other one is so, like, ludicrous that I can't picture it. I don't know. It wasn't a terrible movie. I wasn't mad at myself for watching it. It's not a movie I'd watch again. I just can't get my head around the Kate Winslet, Jack Black thing.
He got much more passionate about that than I thought he would, Spoon. Almost as passionate as you got talking about Jack Black earlier. Spoon, I'm going to have to reevaluate how I feel about you, because I don't know if I can trust anybody that doesn't like School of Rock. Another classic American film.
Oh, God, I hate that movie. Now, let me get this straight, since I've never seen or heard of this. It's called The Holiday, right?
The Holiday, yes.
Okay.
As opposed to another remake
of the great movie Holiday, is it?
No.
You guys probably don't know.
I've heard of Buddy Holiday.
Cary Grant and
Buddy Holly. Pepper. You're thinking of Buddy Holly.
Okay, yeah.
No, I don't know. I am.
We've completely lost control.
Yeah, you guys don't.
I'm trying to decide tonight if I'm going to watch, because tonight is Christmas Eve, Festivus. Happy Festivus, everyone.
Thank you.
Trying to decide if I'm going to watch Miracle on 34th Street. I watched the new one. Don't judge me. That's the one I grew up on because it came out in 1994. If I'm going to watch Miracle on 34th Street, I'm going to watch Florida UCF in the Gasparilla Bowl or 49ers on Thursday Night Football. Spoon, what should I watch? Let me tell you, this is a side note. When we're talking about playoffs, a team that's getting hot at the right time is the 49ers. Right now they have a wild card spot locked up, and if the Cardinals keep going down the way they have, and the 49ers keep the trajectory that they've got, that might, if you get them at home, it'd be a lot easier. But if for some reason a complete meltdown happened and the Packers didn't get home field advantage, I'm trying to think of how it would work out at that point if the person with home field advantage loses. All of that to say, 49ers may not be a team you want to see in the postseason. You agree, Spoon?
I don't know. I'm not sure yet with them. I don't know where they're at. I've become a little bit more leery. I used to think San Francisco was tremendous, and they were that 1 year. Uh-huh. But I don't know. I'll have to give it some more thought, but I don't have a strong feeling about them right now.
Right now, they'd play the Bucks. So if you're a team, if you're a Packers fan, doesn't want to see the 49ers, that you have that going for you.
Yeah, that's true. Bucks with just a complete meltdown this weekend. So that being said, we are going to sign off. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Stay tuned for complete coverage as the Packers get ready to take on the Cleveland Browns on Christmas Day. This has been the Green 19 podcast brought to you by JS Online and PackersNews.com.